All right, we're in async world. How are you doing, Alex?
Hey, doing well.
Great. So, Alex Turner, your program manager on the compiler team.
Yep. The VBC Sharp Languages team now. We keep changing our name.
Excellent. And I know you guys are busily working on implementing those compilers in their respective languages.
Yep.
Async CTP 2.
Yes.
So tell me.
Yeah, so we had the Async CTP came out. It's actually been really successful. You look online on the MSDN, we have all our internal stats that we look at to see how things are doing, and it's like up there, like the top 15 pages on MSDN, so we're seeing everyone really excited about it.
Awesome.
Pulling it down. So one issue, as SP1 came out, people were getting SP1 beta and realized that you can't quite mix SP1 and the CTP that we had, because we were going in there and just tweaking files that were inside VS. So now we're getting a version. That was a big motivator to get one that would actually work with SP1. So
excellent.
Everyone can keep poking around at async.
Good. And, of course, you know, talking to Mads, you know, some of the big news, of course, being the ability to run this stuff on the phone.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's good.
And the phone, you think about the places where async is really important. We started out, we pushed it in Silverlight, and we have a lot of cool Silverlight demos if you get the CTP. And it's really important there because Silverlight took that big step and said, let's get rid of all the sync APIs. Mm. So you want to do network requests, you want to do a lot of stuff on the platform that you normally get to do file I/O synchronously. You normally get to do a lot of these kind of things. You have to actually go do that stuff asynchronously now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. It's great for responsiveness. It keeps your app moving, but it really sort of starts to mess your code up. You have callbacks, you have maybe nested lambdas that you're doing, and then they have to call things, so they get another nested lambda, and it's great that we have all that support in the language to be able to do that if you really want to and you want to share your state, but it gets far uglier than if you just get to write a method the real way.
Absolutely.
So await and async has really been great for that, and now we're trying to bring that over to the phone, which obviously is also a Silverlight.
Cool, man. So now you're going to show us a demo.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what you're going to show us.
So this is going to be one of the demos that we have. You've seen the Async CTP we already have. We have a Netflix demo on the desktop. So we have it for the desktop. We have it for Silverlight. This is us sort of taking that down and putting it on the phone form factor, coming up with a cool app that's actually a little more featured than the one that we have on the desktop. It has one cool thing you'll see.
Excellent.
And you'll see that actually the code that I got to use is almost exactly the same. There's just a few extra things for the UI that I did, but really the async downloading is shared across desktop, across Silverlight, across phone. You really get to do the same awesome new UI stuff.
Very cool, man.
Let's try it out.
Let's take a look at this.
All right. So actually show it to you guys in action first, running here in the emulator. And so the idea is you come in here and it's Netflix year search. You can go to this text box, you click it, the user types in some year they care about, let's say like 1950. And then you click off and it goes, it puts in the pivot item for 1950 and starts loading items. And you see here it's searching, it's getting items 10 at a time from Netflix's OData API.
Hmm.
And as it's doing so, I'm able to scroll through. And as I'm scrolling, it's a little choppy in the emulator, but it actually is pretty solid on the phone, and I'm able to scroll through even as it's downloading. Everything is pretty smooth.
Mm.
I'm not blocking. It's not like every time I'm waiting for the next 10 results, I'm off in some thread blocking, which you can't do, right?
Sure.
But the key is really how simple my code's going to be. And the one cute thing is, as I can go here, if I like load 1955 and that's going, but I come back here, I also load like 1959. At the same time, I can sort of switch back between these pivots. And each one of these pivots is still executing its own flow to get the next 10 movies. And so is this one. This one's done now. And so I'm able to switch back and forth, and I don't have to come up with some complicated system for synchronizing these. I'm able to just multiplex the UI thread and do what I have to do to get this done.
Nice.
So I'll show you guys the code. So you come down here, just some stuff to get the year and send it down, and really, load movies async is where we start. And the core, again, this will be familiar if you saw the previous CTP, the one on the desktop, is we have this async annotation. And what that means is instead of just having a method that comes out as sort of sequential IL, we're going to turn this into a state machine, very much the way we did for iterators, so that we can pause this method and come back later. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to start off here, you know, make some observable collections, set up the pivot, put the little number in at the top. And then when we get down here, we're just going to go into a while loop. And we're going to keep looping as long as we still have movies to get. You see in here we're going to break once we make a request and Netflix doesn't give us back any movies. And so as we're going through, we want to just set this up like a while loop. And in here, I actually want to make my request to go query for movies. But you'd think what you'd have to do normally. If I was doing this with the async APIs you have today in the phone in Silverlight, I'd have to go and basically have a request, a method that terminates here and says, here, query movies async, kick this off. I'm going to give you an event handler. Or I'm going to give you a callback delegate that says what to do when that's done. And I would have to come up with some way to call back to myself and give myself the next index to go back to. I wouldn't get to use a while loop. And so here I really get to keep my flow. I get to keep my while loop. I just have this one await point here. And this is sort of that magic point where the method can pause, return back to the UI thread, and then once this is actually done, come back. And you see query movies async is something else that I wrote. So you can start to compose all this yourself. It's not just calling into methods that we provide. Mm-hmm. And so down here, query movies async is another async method I wrote. And this one's returning task of movie array. And that's why this is able to work, right? Over here, when I say var movies, if I hover, I'm not sure. But anyway, movies is right here. I'm not sure why it's not working. But mm-hmm. movies is a movie array. And that's what I want here, because I'm going to get the length of it. I'm going to for each through it. And so what I really need is a movie array. But what query movies async does is it promises me a movie array in the future. Mm. And so it gives me a task of movie array that says, hey, you can await this. Later on, sometime, maybe a minute later, maybe a second later, it's going to complete, give you a movie array, and that's when you can resume the previous method.
Nice.
And so I'm able to go down here. I'm able to do, this is a new method that we would provide, like download string task async. Again, it's that kind of thing. I want to get a string, but it's going to return me a task of string to say that the string will come back at some point in the future. And one interesting thing that we did here that's different than what we did on the desktop, on the phone is really important for perf, that you don't really do a lot of heavy lifting on the UI thread. So one thing we do when we get back the results from Netflix is we get this XML blob and we have to parse it. We have this link query that's going to go and pull out all the titles and URLs and years so we can populate each of those items. Mm-hmm. While we're doing that, we're saying, well, let's put this off onto a background thread. If you think before, you'd have to say, you know, dot invoke. If you said dot invoke, that would tie up your thread, so you don't get to do that in Silverlight. You could say dot begin invoke, provide a continuation, but now you're back where you started. You're sort of separating your method into all these little individual chunks. And so what I can say here is await task x dot run. Task x is a little hack for the CTP. Ultimately, yeah. This would be task dot run. But what this does, it says, hey, take the delegate that's provided here and go run this on a background thread and returns a task that I can wait for to see, hey, when is this actually going to be completed? And so I take the task, I await it, and that's going to give me whatever I return. And so instead of just saying, here, let me get this movie, this array of movies parsed, maybe that would take, you know, a 20th of a second to make the scrolling choppy. I'm able to go do this on a background thread. The UI thread can still be responsive in the meantime. And then when this data comes back, I get to flow it back to the UI thread and return it from this method. And then it goes back up where it can be added to the UI up here in the previous method. So I get to write my methods and my flow really exactly how I'd want to. I don't have extra methods. I don't have little shim launcher methods. Or, you know, if I have five awaits, I wouldn't have to have five little intermediate lambdas or nested anything.
Great.
I get rid of all these annoying callbacks, and I just directly code what I want to do.
That's beautiful. I mean, that, in some sense, is the whole point of async inside of the language.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you are actually writing as though you're writing how humans think, and that's sequentially.
Yeah.
And so you're stepping through, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, this function implemented, these steps, and things can happen. I mean, it's not like new threads are being spawned when you're using await.
Right, yes. Yeah. So
it's really brilliant.
You get to think of it really the same way you used to think of it. Like, you take all these concepts for granted. When you're first learning programming, you're learning like for loops and while loops and if statements, and all these things seem like core fundamental concepts. We think, oh, obviously we've passed by this. We have classes now, and we have all sorts of robust abstractions that we're used to. And we often give those up. We give them up when we go to async. We lose while loops. If you have an if statement, you had different things in different branches of the if statement. You'd have to come up with some way that you could branch to one of two different methods, and if this was complicated or nested, suddenly your program would have lots of methods for something that was very simple to express naturally before. And so this is really about having the compiler do what it's supposed to do, which is the heavy lifting that lets you actually think at the logical level. You were mentioning sequential. That's what we really like to say. These methods can pause, but they're sort of sequential but discontinuous. Mm. They're methods that do execute in the logical order that you would expect. It's just that sometimes they'll leave and then they'll come back. Mm. 1 second later, a year later, who knows when that thing finally completes on that server and that client. And then you can keep going.
Sure.
And so it's something that really lets you write the way that you actually think. And the benefit here, mm-hmm. You saw that when we had the 1955 and 1959, they were able to do their processing in parallel. You can have multiple versions of these control flows in flight. And so you see whenever you sort of, you know, the text box loses focus, it means you typed in a number, it's going to call load movies async and pass it that year. But then the UI thread is still responsive. And one benefit is the user can go back to the text box, type in a new number, and then it's just going to call load movies async again. And then each of these calls is executing on the UI thread. It's multiplexing every time you get to an await point. But they're all they're running in parallel. So you have two copies of that that are naturally each filling their part of the UI. And you don't have to think about when it comes in, hey, which part of the UI was this? How do I take this update message? What do I do? It just, you have your natural state. If you have anything here you're closed over, like exactly which year pivot I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about this particular movie collection, which is the movie collection I put into this year movies, which I put into this year pivot. Mm-hmm. I have all my local variables all in context. I don't have to come up with architectures to go get some ID and look stuff up again. It's all as natural as it would have been.
So now the question I would ask, and of course, when you first released the CTP, your debugging story wasn't great. I mean, this mm-hmm. is a CTP.
Yeah.
You're relying on the full product in which the stuff runs for the debugger support.
Yeah.
Now, what I would ask you is, it's one thing to make it easier for humans to reason about what's going on in these sequential statements of stepwise code.
Right.
It's another thing altogether for the machine to deal with it in the debugger context.
Right.
So that's going to keep you busy for a while.
Yeah, and we actually have some cool stuff there. The if you take the CTP now, if you actually look at this kind of method, when you get here and you get into query movies async, or even when you get here, you say, oh, well, let's say I don't care about query movies async. I just want to, you know, have this line be highlighted and I want to step over to this line. At the point you hit F10 here, mm-hmm. If you're in C#, to do that step over, mm-hmm. You would end up stepping out because this is actually under the covers a return statement.
PowerPoint.
Unfortunately,
this is new. The PowerPoint is now in the C# compiler.
Yes, this is a core component.
That would have been a good April Fool's. All right.
So this is actually something that we put together. We're still in flight for the async debugging work that we're doing. So we don't have a prototype I can show right now, but we have this, which we've sort of used to envision what it is we want to see. And so you could imagine this is a very similar example. This isn't phone specific, but you're here in a Netflix thing where you have load movies. Mm-hmm. I'm going here, and I could sort of step into or step over. And you imagine I go here, I step over, and we've separated out the await from the actual call. So in the real example, you were calling query movies, getting a task, and directly awaiting it. Mm-hmm. But here, we've actually separated it out into two pieces, so you can see the intermediate work. And if this is sort of simulating the behavior we have, I can say, okay, fine, step out, that's fine. I step out again, but now, as I was saying before, if I was to actually step over here now, if you do that in the CTP, it would just return. Mm-hmm. And so the behavior we want is when you hit step over, it goes, it runs, and then it continues after that. Mm-hmm. And then you can just continue where you left off. And so it operates logically the way that you would have actually expected. Mm-hmm. One other thing, if I step into here and I go into query movies, and I continue stepping here. Now, if I'm here, it says, all right, well, fine, I can step over doing the download. But let's say now I don't actually care about stepping through the rest of this method. One thing you're normally able to do is just hit step out and go back to the method that called you. Mm-hmm. But in this case, if I hit step out, normally, right, like I could actually go back, you can see, when I'm here, the call stack shows that I was in load movies, and then I ended up in query movies. But after the await, I'm actually no longer in load movies. Load movies completed, it did its thing, and now the sort of only the continuation of query movies, that's what's actually left. And so there's nothing to step back out to. Mm. And so if I decide to go here and say, all right, step out, what we actually are planning to do is to have it step out and return immediately after the await point and to put you here. And then after we've done that, you can start to continue and step out and step over again and keep going. And so it goes from here where you entered to the point where it was actually awaited, because this is where this method will continue.
Sure.
You can keep moving on. And so this is some sort of early thinking. We're still trying to plan out how this works, but this is something cool that we're hoping to show.
But
you
I mean, the major thing that you guys have done is,
yeah.
is getting people to be able to write asynchronously in a very easy way,
mm-hmm.
very natural way,
yeah.
sort of like natural user programming.
Yeah.
Right. It's what we want to do things sequentially, and you've really released or decreased the amount of code that we have to write. And the complexity is at a medium level
right.
that most people, it's not rocket science.
Yep.
But it was rocket science on your part and the work you guys had to do in a compiler.
It's tricky stuff to get all the different corners right. It's funny when you add every feature, it really becomes a sort of n squared thing of I'm adding the next feature and therefore I have to go back and make sure that it interacts properly with all the other features that I've had before.
Mm-hmm.
Async is no different, especially when you have side effects, and these are very simple cases, but the thing you're awaiting could itself be an expression that has a side effect, and that could put things onto the stack that have to stay on the stack because the await expression could be a parameter for some other method, and it's important to actually get all of that exactly the way you'd expect so you don't start seeing weird artifacts. We really anticipate that you're going to want to do await in one little part of your method, and you're going to end up making your method async, and then you might want to await that and make more things async, and we want to really minimize the surprise that you get as you do that. Everything that's not directly what you want to change mm-hmm. should really remain exactly the same at that point.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you guys will pull it off.
We hope so.
Right on. So, download CGP2.
Yes.
And, of course, just to remind people as they learn from Mads that, there's a new EULA.
Mm-hmm.
If you are crazy enough to want to ship something using a CTP, go for it. You guys don't condone it. Great example was right there. Task EX will mean nothing if and when this stuff actually ships. It's really not an if, more of a when.
Yeah. I mean, we've actually taken pains to update the pattern and make things closer to the way they're going to be, but there's still a lot of hacks in there that we had to do just to get it working on the old bits. And
totally.
So and at your own risk, yeah.
That's awesome. And, you know, maybe I'm too negative. I mean, if people want to try that.
It works. You can see that it works, but just be... Be ready.
Be careful to make some changes.
Yep. Right?
Some syntactic changes.
Yep.
Definitely not architectural. Hey, man, great to talk to you again.
Yeah, awesome to talk to you.
And congratulations on CTP2. See you CTP3? Who knows?
Who knows?
Cheers, man.
See ya.